In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're offering a series of sermons on stewardship, and so we're doing it when everybody's here so that you can all hear it. So this morning in the Gospel, we see a man who is blind, and he doesn't see Jesus, he knows Jesus is coming, with a whole crowd pressing around him. And he is a man of great faith, which is displayed by the event that takes place in this Gospel passage. And he begins to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Which, by the way, becomes, as it develops, the Jesus Prayer. Probably the most often said prayer in the Orthodox Church of all time. And the people begin to try to calm him down and to suppress him. And you know how powerful peer pressure is, especially if you feel like you are unworthy. And I bet that blind people in that society felt a great deal of unworthiness. But this blind man did not stop just because his peers were saying, "Be quiet, don't bother him. Who are you? Who do you think you are?" But all the more he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." No one could silence him. This is how great his faith was. This is how much he believed that Jesus had the power to heal him. And I want us to think for a moment, when we really recognize our need, then we are incentivized, we are motivated. And this man was motivated. He wanted the grace of God and the power of Jesus to be upon him. And so Jesus comes up to him and he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Isn't it amazing how God in his love doesn't assume anything? He knows everything, but he so respects each human being that he doesn't overpower us. He doesn't cross boundaries in an inappropriate way. "What do you want me to do for you?" And of course, the man says, "I want to receive my sight." And so Jesus immediately heals him. Now, that's an amazing miracle. And because we hear it over and over and over again, it's easy for us to take it for granted. But I want to focus not just on the miracle, but I want to focus on the response of this blind man. The passage says that immediately after he receives his sight, he begins to follow Jesus, he begins to glorify God, and then all of the people in their wonder praise God. But he immediately begins to follow Jesus and to glorify him. He begins to immediately offer him profound gratitude, thanksgiving. And that's really what I want to talk to you about today, segueing from this Gospel passage to talk about one of the most important things that a human being can do in order to draw near to God and become like him: to thank God. As I was driving this morning, Parker Road sits up kind of high, and you're looking westward as you're approaching 225. And it was the most beautiful, I should say, is the most beautiful morning. And Colorado is a really beautiful state. And I'm looking at those snow-capped Rocky Mountain peaks, and my heart was filled with thanksgiving as I'm coming to celebrate the service of Thanksgiving, the Holy Eucharist. It's not by accident, my dear brothers and sisters, that we call the Divine Liturgy the Holy Service of Thanksgiving, Thea Eucharistia. It's also not by accident that we have entitled our stewardship theme for this year after a quote from 1 Peter 2:5. "You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood." It's St. Peter the Apostle who says in another place that we are part of the royal priesthood of all believers. Father Lou, Father Andrew, I, Deacon Paul, Father Jimmy, we are all part of the royal priesthood because of our baptism into the church, but we're also part of the ordained priesthood. But every one of us, by virtue of our baptism and chrismation, are part of the royal priesthood. And I want you to think for just a moment about what the definition of a priest means. A priest, by definition, serves at an altar. And as he or she serves at that altar, they offer a sacrifice to God. So how do we exercise our royal priesthood as believers by virtue of our baptism and chrismation? I would submit to you that we exercise our royal priesthood every single day and every single moment of every day by offering a sacrifice of thanksgiving to God on the altar of our hearts. And this isn't Father Ted's opinion. This is the teaching of the church. I'll share with you just a very brief story. There was a period during the Soviet Union where there were Russian priests who were imprisoned. They didn't have vestments. They were in solitary confinement. They would save their bread and their water, not all of it, because they had to eat. And they would lie on their backs. And they would put the bread and the water on a plate on their hearts. And by memory, they would commemorate the Divine Liturgy audibly so that the people around them could hear. And when the time of the consecration came, because God honored their offering of sacrifice on behalf of themselves and everyone that was in earshot, the water would turn to wine, and literally, and the bread and the water and the wine would become the Eucharist, and they would offer that divine and holy thanksgiving. Now, not everybody was able to partake of it, but nevertheless, the grace of God spread to everybody who could hear that divine liturgy. So when we think of stewardship, sometimes we think erroneously, well, it's a program of the church. Oh, it's a campaign that we hold every fall as we enter into the new budget year. But I would strongly suggest to you that those fall short. Those are gimmicks. Those are not about true stewardship. True stewardship is, in reality, the totality of the Christian life. It is the central meaning of what we do when we come to the Divine Liturgy. When you offer a loaf of prosphoro, and when you give of your stewardship so that we can purchase wine, this is an offering that we receive from you. And when you offer that bread and wine, whether you realize it or not, and today I'm highlighting it so that you will realize it, you are literally offering to the church and to God your entire life, all of your time, all of the seasons, all of your knowledge and the knowledge that precedes you that has taught us how to make bread and wine from wheat and grapes. It is an offering of our entire life and all of the universe back to God in thanksgiving. And as we prepare every week for this divine liturgy, the single most important aspect of preparation is to be grateful to God, to be aware of His presence in our life, to not take Him for granted in our home, in our human relationships, at our workplace, at school, in as simple as driving to church and looking at the mountains on a beautiful sunny morning. This is what brings us into communion with God. We receive this offering of thanksgiving as priests, and we set it on the holy altar as we just did when we processed through the church at the great entrance. And Father Lou, as the celebrant this morning, will say, your own of your own, we offer to you on behalf of all and for all. And Jesus Christ himself, the second person of the Trinity, receives this offering of thanksgiving. And he transforms it and us by the descent of the Holy Spirit, that we might mystically participate in union and communion with the God of the universe. And he takes our offering and he gives it back to us as his body and blood. What a profound intersection of heaven and earth. What a profound expression of true stewardship. The offering of our entire being, our time, our talents, our treasures, realizing that all that we are and that all that we have and that all that we are surrounded with, the precious gift of time, which is so fragile, as Father Jimmy's falling asleep reminds us. And we offer that back to God, and we get to commune with God himself. We get to literally participate in his blessed kingdom. There's no more profound way to understand our relationship with Jesus Christ than that understanding and definition of Christian stewardship. So my invitation, my plea to each of us is to sincerely, intentionally remember God throughout your day. Be filled with gratitude, not just a general sense of gratitude, but a gratitude to God. Because when you are grateful and thank God, you become like him, and you enter into an intimate communion with him. And this is the meaning behind Christian stewardship. Amen.